What a win. The Rangers prevailed over the Hurricanes with a classic double overtime victory Tuesday to take a 2-0 series lead. Molly, Larry, and I react to the Game 2 thrilling win and look ahead to Games 3 and 4 down in Raleigh. Plus a surprise boiling point from Molly this week. Very interesting. It's all coming up next on a new playoff edition of Up in the Blue Seats, podcast from the New York Post.
There's a Yankee story you're accustomed to hearing. This is not that Yankee story.
The 1990 Yankees.
It was rock bottom.
A horror show, a laughing stock.
There was a ballplayer who brought live cougars into the clubhouse.
I was in a relationship with Mel Hall at the age of 15.
Are you kidding me? How was that acceptable?
This is the Yankee story they don't like to tell.
It really was the Bronx Zoo.
Bronx Zoo 90, crime, chaos, and baseball. Streaming now, only on Peacock.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Panarin's shot blocked by Slavin. Follow-up is free. They score! Vincent Trocheck wins it in overtime for New York.
Welcome back to Up in the Blue Seats, our New York Rangers podcast from the New York Post. Excuse me, it was a long night. I'm former Ranger Brian Boyle, alongside beat writer Molly Walker, and our Hall of Famer Larry Brooks. What a thriller on Tuesday. That was epic. We'll get into that. The Rangers win a marathon in double OT, 4-3, 2-0 series lead on May 7th. Why did I say May 7th? That's a little bit significant for me. We'll get into that. All right, guys. Molly's tired, so you can start, Molly. Or you forget what you were going to say.
No, I mean, the Rangers are 6-0 in the playoffs. Kind of just want to put that out there.
Is that good?
I think so. Second straight 2-0 lead in a series. I mean, this team is just throwing win after win right over their shoulder and just trucking on through this postseason right now. I mean, that was a thrilling double overtime victory. And honestly, I was saying to Larry, I mean, the fact that the Hurricanes came full throttle, that was a quintessential Hurricanes performance, I would say. The body of it, the shot volume, 57 shots on goal, Igor Shesterkin, 54 saves. That was the Carolina Hurricanes, and the Rangers were still tied 3-3 in the third period. And I said to Larry, you know, if they're this close in a game where the Hurricanes are essentially almost at the top of their game, maybe aside from special teams, the Rangers are still winning this game. So that's what happened. And Vincent Trocheck, the hero in OT, double OT, excuse me, sending his former team down back to Raleigh in a 2-0 series hole. Really can't write it any better.
Yeah, they just stick with it. That's what impresses me most about them. Listen, I've talked about this a lot. You know, they're talented. We know they're talented. They've been talented for a while. But it's the collective mindset of this group. They just stick with it. They don't panic. They believe in their structure. I think it was Pierce the number of times. I think that they've got to perfect that 1-3-1. They when they go into that 1-3-1, sometimes it's just like, you know, Swiss cheese. You know, and Carolina is just so fast through the neutral zone and gains his own, but the way the Rangers stuck with it and worked and took hits to make plays and grinded it out and they were disciplined with their shifts. I thought they were really disciplined with the way with their changes and you know, they came back. They're supremely confident. They're a very confident team. But they, you know, that being said, they've really done only the necessary here in holding serve. And, you know, they're up 2-0. They needed to be up 2-0, you know, so we'll see. I like them. I think they'll get at least one of these next two. I do. I like them. But, you know, let's not forget that 2 years ago, you know, it was a home series for 6 games. Carolina was up 2-0 and 3-2, and then the Rangers won the last two. So there's a lot of work to be done, but I like the groundwork that has been done.
I'll start at the top with Troch. He led all skaters. Is that correct? All skaters.
Yeah.
In ice time. The role that he plays, I don't know if people understand how difficult that is. Just the physical commitment that takes. It's impressive. The fact that he's as effective as he is, the fact that someone posted that celebration of him.
I was going to say.
Next to Jon Snow, I think it was.
I didn't see that.
But
the video was sick.
Oh, my goodness. That. So anyways, I said May 7th. Brad Richards, 6.6 seconds left. Same corner, same area of the ice. Just an epic goal on May 7th in, what was that?
That tied the game.
Right. Mark Stahl scored in overtime.
And Stahl scored on the power play.
A thriller.
There was Ward.
Johnny Mitchell's on the ice.
Remember, didn't Ward picked up a double minor at the end of the game for a high stick?
Yeah.
And you scored on both ends. Richie scored on the first. And
That was
game five. Yeah, that was game five.
Yeah, the year so that was
2012, yeah.
Yeah.
This is fun watching you guys figure this out, putting both of your brain cells together.
Yeah, I only have two brain cells myself.
Yeah, you're preaching.
At this point.
Last night was a late one.
Oh, man.
And then didn't get home until like one, almost like 1:20 last night after all that.
Yeah, and I was sort of traveling, so then I stayed up to watch some, and then I kind of have to watch the other games too. So Miles Wood scored.
Brian's like, it's part of my job now.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you got to take the good with the bad. And that was just, yeah. So it was an early morning, but, you know, what a game.
Well, you know, Trocheck was an irritating player to play against in the playoffs 2 years ago. And the Rangers knew him really well from that series. And I had known that Trocheck had always been interested in coming to New York. And so it seemed like a perfect fit. When Strome was coming up, it did seem like a perfect fit. It took a few months for him to assimilate. I think it's hard coming to New York. It's hard.
It's hard going to any new team.
On a major big contract. He was stepping in for Strome.
Of Ryan Strome, not only as a player, but as a presence in that locker room as well, was a pretty, you know, lofty challenge for Trocheck to be walking into. And it has been pretty seamless for him. I mean, I know his first season, it took him, as it would take anybody, a little time to adjust. I know it wasn't an instant click with Artemi Panarin, but I mean, if this season is any indication of what's to come, Vincent Trocheck is right below Artemi Panarin in terms of big free agent signings that have gone well for the Rangers in recent years.
It's interesting too, their power play, which is you know, on another level right now. One of the reasons is because Trocheck's at around 70% on the power play, faceoff. So they have the puck. They have the puck. And, you know, that had been always an issue for them, even while they were going at 23, 24, 25%, they were losing the faceoff. They were losing, you know, they had to go back and get it. And, you know, now they just set up. But Carolina had a pretty good one last night, too, where they were in the zone. Was it in the overtime? They were in the zone, I think, for a minute 48 before. Just finally cleared it. Carolina, if I'm Carolina, I'm saying we'll play the same game and we'll be up. We need to clear up.
They're furious. Things. Obviously, I saw players outside the visiting locker room chucking their bags on the cart. They're furious. And Rod Brind'Amour was pretty short.
I think they're also frustrated that, you know, you hear some of the things going on. Well, you know, they're accusing them maybe of going down, you know, the Rangers going down a little bit too easily. It's always interesting because when I hear things like that, and, you know better. But when I hear things like that, I think that's kind of coming from a loser's mentality. You don't want to complain. You don't want to complain about anything.
But. Yeah, I agree with you there. I think that's everyone relax, but they're not wrong. And the Rangers have to be careful.
It's
two games in a row with and I did this on the NHL Network yesterday. It's two games in a row with Adam Fox. Look, I understand you get hit in the face, it hurts. Your legs don't stop working when you get hit in the face. So just be careful, and he's going to probably. And look, it's worked because their power play has been great, and it's, it got him a goal. He wasn't even on the ice. He wasn't allowed on the ice because he went down in game one. I'm just saying, all the refs talk, the league talks, they want to get it right, and just be careful. Now, if he gets stuck in the face, they should still call it, and they're going to, but like, just be careful. You don't want it evened up. So, and that's my boiling point. Rick Tocchet came out and said it yesterday before his series against Edmonton. He's just planting a seed, which I thought was genius. But look, there's gamesmanship. I don't care how people view me. If I draw a penalty, I get it. I could never dive. It just would look ridiculous. And I
all 6 foot six of you.
Yeah. And I'm not, that graceful, but so I just never had that advantage. But if I could cheat on a face-off, if I could grab you in different places, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. So I don't care about, and they shouldn't care about either. I just be careful it doesn't
come off that way
and go the other way and come back to hurt you. So look, the Carolina Hurricanes are a good hockey team. They're a shot volume team. I think they need some sort of creativity, and Sebastian Aho is a problem for the Rangers. He was dynamite yesterday. I mean, then you throw everything at this guy. You know, his pass where he threw it out to Jake, I believe it was, in the slot.
Yeah.
He protected the puck, how he went down and just kept, he didn't avoid contact. He took the contact, kept full on possession. Like, that's a physical player to me. Whether or not he's going to run you over and hurt you. I mean, he hurt Adam Fox this year. I know that, but he's a strong player, but that's a physical skilled centerman. That play, what do you do there? He got defended hard. They defended him hard. So you need to understand that. They're going to push back. When you get angry like that, I mean, there's going to be something. So the first period, game three, there's going to be a lot to be said about the first period of game three. Even if it comes out 0-0.
Yeah.
You're the New York Rangers. You're like, all right.
Which would be ideal for the Rangers, I think.
Well, I mean, look, they probably have loftier goals than that. They want to just step on their necks, but it's been so fun to watch. Game one was so awesome. The power play was so awesome. And let's get into that for a sec. We talk about faceoffs, right? And we'll go back to like cheating a little bit. I don't know if you guys remember, the faceoff was won, not terribly cleanly, and Troch falls down. What does he do?
Pin the guy in front of him.
It's a little grab on Jordan Staal's stick, which buys Adam Fox a little time. Adam Fox waits for Jordan Staal to get just far enough out. He can pass to Panarin, who's a little higher up on the half wall than he normally is. Orlov, I believe it was in the first one, is a little late getting to him because he has to go through this big pile of five guys. And every single, they want to gap up three guys high, which doesn't make sense. When they're ready for it and they have 7 days to prepare and it's in the net in 8 seconds. I was like, I was with Valiquette. We were up in Sam and Joe's booth and Valley grabbed me when it happened. I was like, geez, man.
It was automatic.
Now. We're unbiased. We're media now.
Media now.
it was epic. And that was going to be the big thing. It was the special teams. Who's winning the special teams is winning the series.
I think it was 9 seconds into the first power play and then 14 seconds into the second power play.
And you're right. And you're playing against the team that had the best penalty kill in the league.
Right. Let's not lose sight of that.
Honestly, that the Carolina penalty killers were embarrassed after that game.
Yeah.
And last night.
No, they did.
That's
how they're coached. They were just a step slow. The only issue I had with any of it.
If you're the first power play unit, if you're the first penalty kill unit in the NHL and you're playing in game one of a second round and you're 2-for-2 in 22 seconds.
You hate getting scored on always. Like any goal, you're like, what just happened? How did that happen? The only issue with the first one was Jarvis going to Kreider, who was the least, he was less dangerous than D'Amico behind him, and he kind of goes at him with his stick in the air. I should coach this. I mean, it's just look at. I liked it. I was happy about it. But
honestly, details. So now even last night, and I don't blame. I mean, listen, it's you know it was a game last night. The Rangers could have lost just as easily, but mm-hmm. they give up a power play goal to tie the game in the third period, and they give up a power play goal to win the game. So yeah, I'm sure yeah. the penalty killers,
the biggest goals of the game,
you know, are oh, yeah. you know they must be furious. Honestly, I mean they're prideful. They you know they're part of the best penalty killers in the NHL, and they've been scored on four times in two games.
They have to adjust, and the reason is like you can't prepare this much during the season for every different team you play against. They had a week. They're only going to play Carolina. So they prepared. They see three guys that go high because they love the pressure points. And where are those four goals coming from? They're all right around the net because there are three guys are out high and there's one guy in front. One time's Jarvis. I love Seth Jarvis as a player.
Yeah.
I think he's a fantastic player.
I mean, he's had a great season. He's had a great playoffs for them.
If I can pick 10 guys to be my coverage in front of the net, he's not one of them from that Carolina team. That's all. That's all I'm saying. And that's how their rotation goes. So, and to give the Rangers and their coaching staff a ton of credit. The Rangers were executing, the coaching staff saying, this is where we're going to get our goals. And that's why they're up 2-0. They need to be ready for an adjustment, but that is, I was so impressed. That's a group, like everybody gets a hot power play. Power plays can go cold. That was a group that was ready for what they were going to bring at them, and they found different ways to move it around. Who's open? Where's the time and space? Go there. And back to Trocheck. The draws are important. The holdup was important. And he's that guy in the middle that has to support everywhere and then make a play. He's in the eye of the hurricane. And he's making plays. It's phenomenal.
You're really a media member now. No, but also I'm thinking about.
I didn't even mean that for. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's OK. It just happens naturally once you start moseying on into the space. Welcome. Congratulations, Brian. Nice. I'm thinking about the first power play goal, though. The two backhanded passes. That was unstoppable. It just really is. And then when they're operating like that, they look unstoppable. And we've been saying it, and Trocheck said it last night to confirm it. They get out there and they expect to score. And that's a sort of confidence that is just, swagger. You can't do anything about it. Yeah, you just can't do anything about it. Whether you have the best penalty kill in the league, whatever it may be, you just can't stop it.
And again, you know, not all 2-for-7s are created equal, right? I mean, 2-for-7s, 2-for-7, but they tied the game in the third period. They won the game in overtime. And that's to me the, you know, the mark of an elite specialty unit that goes out and wins the game. That's it. I mean, that's it. You know, you score in the first period, great. And then you have three opportunities in the third and you can't score. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, that's, the game's on the line. Look, there's something in there that I hope everyone's excited to see, you know, regardless how the rest goes, because this is a very good, again, this is a very good team. Larry, you said it's the third best team in the league, you know, points wise. This is exciting. I mean, exciting for me just to see it all happening and the amount of people talking about it. People who don't really necessarily think they're for real is interesting. Maybe you don't get to watch the Rangers because they're maybe, I mean, they're only on national television like,
you know,
20
Brian,
times a year. So
I'll take the boiling point off of your hands today from that.
We got a couple, I think.
From that lead-in. I can't even, listen, let me preface this by saying that as a beat writer, the worst thing that you could be is a homer. That's something that's beat into us in journalism school. I went to and sat in 2-hour ethics lectures at UMass. The whole thing about, you know, just I'm conscious, always aware of, you know, not being too much of a homer. I vote on the awards and I never want my ballot to look like I'm the Rangers beat writer. Like it's something that you're just always conscientious of. That being said, at the same time, with the season that the Rangers have had, you also have to be able to recognize you have to give credit where credit is due. And when it's warranted, give the players that you're covering the necessary acknowledgement. So that being said, the amount of disrespect that I feel like the Rangers have gotten this season in general, and it has carried on into the playoffs, absolutely has amazed me. The fact that I'm going on these radio shows and things like that, and people are asking about the underdog Rangers is absolutely blasphemous to me. The New York Rangers had the best record in the National Hockey League this season. They won the President's Trophy. They answered every single challenge that was put in front of them this season. They beat the Hurricanes 2 out of 3 times, beat the Hurricanes 2 years ago, whatever it may be. I think that it is a disservice to the actual underdog stories of the sports world to be saying that the New York Rangers are the underdogs in this situation. What about these first two games gives off the impression that the Rangers are the underdogs here? There are no underdogs in this series. These are two Metropolitan Division powerhouses going at it. It's great hockey. I just think that the Rangers, no Jack Adams finalist for Peter Laviolette, no Hart Trophy finalist for Artemi Panarin. I think it's disrespectful, quite frankly. And I think the Rangers deserve so much more credit and attention that they've gotten this season. And that is coming from someone who is so conscientious of not being a homer. So that's my boiling point. You're welcome for taking you off of it this week.
Thank Brian. You. Do you know who loves it?
Who?
Probably Laviolette. Probably the Rangers.
Probably.
You know,
probably. Like,
let's just ride this underdog story fairy tale all the way to the end.
No, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it.
They don't care. Like they,
yeah.
Look, I didn't understand the Vegas odds. I mean, they had Carolina as the chalk to win the cup until maybe last week. You know, it's whatever. They just the whole gambling thing and what it's just
save your money.
If you think it's lazy,
save your money, people.
It's a different story for people talking about them. But different stories happen. Different matchups happen. One team looks like unbeatable in the first round, and then they kind of go out on a whimper. These things happen. They're writing their own story right now. You know, hopefully it's a long story, and we can talk about it for years and years. But, yeah, I agree. It's kind of perplexing. It's a bit bizarre. That
it is. I just think it's unfair. I think that the Rangers, and just the sum of their parts as well, yeah, deserve so much more acknowledgement and so much more credit than they've gotten. And I find it to be quite annoying. So that's all I'll say.
Boom.
Boom. Mic drop.
I love that. Let's get after it. This is kind of where my mind goes is, you know, you've won two games. This is a great spot. You've done what you've had to do. And Larry, you touched on this too. They had to, you know, you want to hold serve at home. That's why you have the home ice advantage. When you're the coaching staff, where do you look at and say, okay, these are maybe some places that we're vulnerable and it hasn't cost us yet? Because again, without nitpicking, they've won it sort of two different ways. They're 6-on-5 I didn't love in game one. Can't get outnumbered in the net. They probably addressed it. The other thing is like, I don't think you can go Superman through the air with your elbow up, crash into the boards.
Oh, yeah, that was
tell
bad.
About it very often. Let's just, you know, I'm all for, you know, Jacob Trouba is obviously a great leader on this team, and he's done so many great things.
He was lucky he was falling. He was lucky that he wasn't going to make contact, because that would have been suspension worthy. 100%.
Tough night to Jill.
And he had a tough night.
He had moments where he was great though.
Their pair had been terrific the first five games. Yeah. Honestly, their pair.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't think they've been on for a goal in the first five games, but he just had a very, very difficult night last night.
It was the giveaway into the
giveaway. I mean,
the giveaway in the neutral zone was tough. He just had a tough game.
But yeah.
Gotta give him credit. 9 blocks, Jake said.
Nine blocks. Yeah.
He's definitely in the trenches.
I think they need to get a little bit more forecheck containment. Honestly, Carolina's just flying out.
Here's the thing with the 1-3-1.
And I think the 1-3-1 has not, I don't think it's benefited them.
It doesn't set up well for that team. They just punt it and go. You know, that's how they do it. They don't care about passing. Teams that want to enter with possession 1-3-1 and shut them right down. And then they're like, what do we do? We can't get the puck. They don't care about it. They don't care about how they get it in. They just get it in.
They always have, and they always have somebody going back door. I was actually shocked last night that they didn't score 5 or 6. Honestly, they had so many chances.
Igor.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, Igor. Igor was terrific. And yeah, you know, just the plays that, you know, you just miss by split second, or, you know, you just miss, but they're always dangerous. They're always threatening. And the Rangers didn't have enough of those 5-on-5 threatening shifts. I mean, they stayed in there, you know, but I think they were reacting more than proacting. I think Carolina carried most of the game. But again, they're playing a really good team. It's okay. And they, you know, that's what's going to happen. And
they can't all be Picassos.
No.
But then you can, especially if you win games like that, not saying they shouldn't win because it's a very small margin. So, but you could take something back from that and say, all right, look, that was great. Great win. Good job. Everybody high five. Now, this is where we're getting beat up. We got to fix this.
Well, I think that's what they do. I think that's one of the things they do very, very well. I think they self-evaluate. I think they're coached. You know, they're coached to the smallest detail. You know, there's nothing that gets by.
I think Peter Laviolette has said the same thing after every game this season. We'll look back. We'll look at it. We'll take a look. We'll evaluate. Like, he always mentions something about how they are going to look at it and what they're going to take away from it and things like that. To your point, Larry, he's constantly making those adjustments. No Jack Adams, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know how many coaches get fired within a year.
Well, no.
18 months of...
You're like, maybe Peter doesn't want it.
No, exactly.
No name doesn't come
Gerard
off.
Gerard Gallant was a finalist 2 years ago, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah.
The name that you can't just fire and scribble off is the one that gets etched in the Stanley Cup. So that's what these guys care about.
That's true.
Here's the last about this team. There's good teams in the playoffs, and you always kind of wonder. And it's sort of like the power play too, though. Like, not all power plays are created. 2-for-7 is not, every 2-for-7 is not the same. Larry, you said it. Like, they, at key moments, they make plays. And it's not all, it's a lot of the same guys, but it's not always the same guys, which is, man, you got to feel good about that if you're a fan of the team. You got a lot of guys you can root for. There's a lot of likable guys. There's some guys in that room right now, I know this, that are like, all right, I got to step in and put my name on this series now too. And they got so many guys that are in,
I think that
spots.
Was Alexis Lafreniere last night.
He did. So he did, right? There's other guys too. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Goudreau and VC want to be like, all right, we're going to tilt the scales in our favor a little bit too. When we get some depth scoring, holy, like, watch out. How are you going to stop us now?
It's a big game by Alexi.
That was, yeah.
It was big. My editors had told me this, but apparently he snapped a 28-game goalless streak in the playoffs.
Yeah, he hadn't scored since the fifth game against Pittsburgh, I think, in the first round.
Yep. So that's, really? I mean, yeah, that's the secondary scoring that the Ranger, I mean, because we've talked about this already, the way that the star players have shown up in force so far since the playoffs have started, that if they can get a couple of goals here and there from Alexis Lafreniere, Kaapo Kakko, really would like to see that third line start producing. Because they do a lot of good things on the ice.
Wenberg had his best game. His 200-foot game was good. I thought he was. I thought he had
involved.
His best game in the offensive zone.
Yeah, engaged was. I was going to say he's.
Yeah,
just,
he's involved, engaged.
He was engaged, and I thought that Cooley had a really impressive night too.
He's such a good player for that team.
He really is. I don't think he gets enough credit either.
Oh, yeah.
As a rookie, too. Yeah. Like, just taking it all into consideration what he's been for this team this season and how he's grown. He's a dude.
Dude, that guy.
He's a guy.
Yeah. Lafreniere could have had. He had a couple opportunities to finish off the trick, too.
Yeah.
I know. Well, sorry,
how about Mika? Mika had two. Anderson made two incredible saves.
Huge saves, yeah.
The second one was even better because he had to move across. But, I mean, Freddie Anderson
played a great game.
I mean, Igor played a great game. Anderson played a great game.
It was a great game in general. It really was. It was a fun, exciting, I mean, anything, double overtime.
It was grinding, you know, it was also grinding. It really, it was just grinding. And you can sense it, you know, guys are exhausted there.
Oh, yeah. I felt like the Rangers in general, whole game looked a little gassed. And, you know, I saw a lot of people online. Oh, maybe they shouldn't have practiced as hard as they did yesterday. Give me a break. Like,
you know, Carolina looked tired game one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I never seen it like that. Like, they're out of gas. This is great.
I felt that way about the Rangers last night. They looked a step behind. They looked a little gassed, especially as the game wore on, obviously.
If you have to defend that much, it'll get to you in the same game.
Artemi Panarin made me crack up last night. As we were leaving the game last night, I asked Artemi about something, and he was like, Molly, I played 40 minutes tonight. I was like, you don't even know your own name? He was like, yes. He was like, I don't even know what's going on.
Who asked him? He's like, what were you thinking in the penalty box?
He goes, I wasn't in his scrum.
I was too tired to think. I didn't care.
He literally was like, Molly, I played 40 minutes tonight. I don't know. I was like, okay, sorry. I won't ask you anything.
Brings back memories. Those long ones.
They'll get you.
May 3rd, 2022. Igor, 79 saves in triple OT. Lost that one, though. Won the series.
Last night was his first overtime.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't actually. No, he won game seven of the Pittsburgh series, remember?
Game seven.
Off the tank. I was in a hotel awaiting my knee scope the next morning, watching it.
This is just like
my knee wouldn't bend or straighten.
Oh God, Brian. But this is just like an inside look into what it's like as us writers. Literally, you had said that, Larry, last night. I told Ethan to write it, and then Ethan texted me at like 3 a.m. Wait, period. Didn't Igor win game seven? He was like, wait, I remember this, but it's all right.
It didn't happen.
It's in the New York Post. Yeah, Brian's like, it didn't happen. Brian's like, that's great. Sorry. So that's a mistake in the New York Post today. But I also have like the same graph written twice in both my stories in the paper today. This is what happens when you cover a double overtime game on a deadline that we have over here in the newspaper business.
7 days of stories with no games.
Oh my God. And the way we cover the paper, the team, Brian, oh my God, we got 5-6 stories in the paper every freaking day. It's insane. Nobody covers the team Capo like the New York Post.
Changed his stick tape. What does that mean?
Wenberg actually, and I was able to find out why.
Actually, that did happen.
I was going to say, funny that you mention it.
I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, Wenberg was like, he was actually kind of funny about it. He's been really great, you know, to talk to. He's been very forthcoming, but it was funny when I went up to him and Larry actually came afterward because we were all curious. And he was just kind of like, yeah, you know, I just trying to change it up. Nothing specific. I was like, well, like, does it have something to do with your play? And he was like, yeah, a little bit. But, you know, it's always good to keep it fresh. He kept it very, you know, vague, not make a big deal about it. But, you know, when you have that cool all white stick, it's kind of noticeable when it's no longer there anymore. So
I can dive into this a little.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I have had the same stick for like 12 years. The graphics changed. People will get blown away when they hear this, but so it'll say whatever Bauer's newest model is on my stick. It's a Bauer. It used to be a Vapor 30, and then I changed it to a 195. So this is like 12-year-old technology. Sometimes they come in a little bit different, but they're pretty much the exact same thing. It's muscle memory. It's all that legit, like two strips of tape. If I start the tape job, like two strips later, it changes everything on my stick. It feels
really
different. So you take it out in practice a little bit. You start thinking it's just like a different way to focus, and it's a different sort of concentration when it's not going right. It got a little bit bad with me, like mentally, in Tampa, where I had this stick that I loved. I switched it the year we went to the Cup Finals in New York, but I still had both patterns, and I couldn't commit to one. So I literally had two different sets of sticks. And one was the old Vapor 30 and one was the 195. They were different curves, similar. You know, one had like a sandpaper on the blade. One was gloss fin. It was like.
And you can feel the difference just by holding it. That's insane.
I tried to go back to the Vapor 30 and like a practice with my kids. And I'm like, this, how the hell did I use this? But that's what I felt like when I would use it in games. It helped me on face-off, so I kept using it. I would practice with one stick all week. And then in the game, I would use the other one. And I would get a one-timer in Tampa, I swear to God, in the slot. I'll never forget, against Phoenix.
And Phoenix.
I'm trying to go high glove on Mike Smith, and I hit like just an absolute rocket low blocker. Like, I missed my spot by 5 feet. It goes post and in, and I was like, and everyone's like, what a shot. And I'm like, that's not at all what I want to do. And then later in the same game, I caught a pass on my backhand that would have probably bobbled on the other stick. And I just tried to snap a backhander, and this stick didn't have as big of a curve. And I went bar down on a backhand on Mike Smith. Two-goal game. And I'm like, this stick's unbelievable. I go to practice next day, I can't even shoot. Like, so you change things a little bit, and it's like it alters your concentration, or you get lucky like I did. But guys will go to white tape for practice, and then they'll go back to black for games, and they're like, I got it now. So, like, those things, we could go a long time on this. I don't know if people want to hear it, but.
No, I think it's very interesting. All the time.
Like Sid, one year wore brand new skates for practice every day, and he'd go back to his skates from the bubble. He used his skates from the bubble in games because he was just like, I can't. I'm like, you are flying in these skates. You're 100% faster in these brand new skates. He's like, no, I can't wear them. Can't wear them. I'm like, yeah, that's so interesting. That's how we're psychos.
Yeah, no, my thing is that you can actually feel the difference. Just holding the top of a stick, like just from the puck being at the bottom of the stick,
you can feel the ice. I can feel
the difference. That's insane. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Interesting.
You learn something new every day.
So guaranteed Wenberg goal next game.
Yeah. I definitely feel like he's looking to finish, and that's why he also needs to shoot a little bit more. But
that's a one way to score.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Well. That's all. I think that's all I got. Mm-hmm. You guys good? Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I'm good.
All right. Well, thank you, Larry, as always, for your time gracing us with your Hall of Fame presence. It's a pleasure. It really is. We'll be back either Monday. If the Rangers, we're going to say take care of business, or on Tuesday following a potential game 5 Monday at MSG. Molly already gave us a boiling point. And next, I'll take you inside the boiler room on Up in the Blue Seats.
Obviously, Shesty played outstanding. He kept us in the game multiple different times. And then on the goal, I couldn't tell you what happened, so it went in.
Vincent, what's the feeling when the puck goes in the net finally there in the overtime?
I don't know. I'll watch it and let you know tomorrow.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Quick little boiler room, and it's not, I mean, I'm not that upset about it because I get what they're doing, but I was working at the NHL Network yesterday, and we had Macklin Celebrini come in, which was awesome. Great kid. Projected first overall pick, San Jose. They did the reveal there. San Jose won the draft lottery. Kid's 17 years old, and he's super impressive. He's checked every box so far, sort of exceeded expectations. I remember where I was at 17. I don't know. I worry that we're putting a little too much on too fast, and I get that it's going to be a total whirlwind for the kid, you know, the next 6 months or so. It already has been the last 10 months. But you bring him on and you put him out there, like, what? I don't know. What if something changes? leading up to it. You know, nothing's been done yet. So I get why they're doing it. They're promoting this prospect, much like they did with Connor Bedard, put him in the spotlight last year for Chicago. And again, he checked every box, probably going to win the Calder. But I don't know. I know how hard it is to play and perform. And at such a young age, I'm not trying to take any credit away from the kid. I'm actually trying to give it to him even more, how impressive he was in the interview and just talking with him before and a little bit after. The kid's all time, man. He gets it. I worry about bringing these kids in that young. You know, all the other drafts are a little different. These kids get to grow up a little bit more in other drafts. And he's just, you know, right there in the spotlight right away and hasn't been drafted yet. So I just worry, and I just want the league to be cognizant and cautious of maybe setting the kid up to hopefully not have the most ideal path forward. I think we should be trying to protect him so he has the absolute best chance to be as great of a player and have as great of a career as he can. They do it all the time. I get why. I'm curious if there's a better way.
Oh, it's unbelievable feelings every time. I was crying.
All right, Brian, good show. Molly, good show. Larry, great show. Per usual over here, as X says goodnight to episode 156 of Up in the Blue Seats, our Rangers podcast from the New York Post. Molly, kick us off. Who's your first star of the week?
After that 54-save performance, I got to go with Igor Shesterkin, backbone of the Rangers, backbone of that Game 2 victory at the Garden last night. And we've said it a million times, but Igor Shesterkin will take this team as far as he wants to.
For sure, yeah. I got Troch. I got Vincent Trocheck. The amount of responsibility on him to perform, the ice time, the responsibilities he has up and down, all three zones, power play, penalty kill, and to be as effective as he's been on the score sheet, what he's done, just the minutes played, it's an absolute grind. What a legend, and the legend is growing. Trochy, 2-star.
And those moments in sports are captured, and they were captured beautifully by the NHL, by the Rangers last night. The close-ups of him against the glass, like hanging in the Louvre. Is it Louvre or Louvre? I never know.
The Louvre.
Louvre, yeah. I think R-E is silent. Yes. Hanging in the Louvre, because that is just a picture-perfect photo, and just his face with like his nice whatever done teeth, whatever surgery he's had to his teeth, I'm sure he's had a few. It is just a thing of beauty, and I love that he was smashing the glass, the fans smashing against him. It is just a thing of beauty. Someone who won't get a star this week is the ESPN broadcast. I was at here American Whiskey, great shirt by the way, watching the game, and I'm yelling at the owner, Kevin. I thought he changed the channel. I'm like, what are you doing, bro? They cut to the other feed, and everyone in the bar is looking around like, put it back for 47 seconds or something. Yeah. How does that happen on any broadcast?
It's not ideal.
No, not ideal at all.
Problematic.
Yeah. People were up in arms. It was kind of funny to see it unfold, because especially for us who are obviously at the game watching it, and suddenly there's just a flood of messages. ESPN just got to the Dallas Stars pregame. Oh my God. Like, what's going on?
You got Rangers, Carolina fans, other fans of neither team, different probably political views, different views. Everyone fights on the internet about everything. Everyone agreed that was egregious.
I feel bad for the broadcasters in the booth there. Like, they get flashed the camera to them. They're thinking they're on ESPNU or whatever the backup channel, ESPN Classic, ESPN 8, The Ocho, whatever channel they were being put on at that time. And there they are in the spotlight when nobody wanted to see them. So kind of felt a little bad for them. And the calls have been less than great on some of these goals as well, unfortunately, for Rangers fans. But, you know, you still got Dave Maloney on the radio you can listen to rip someone's head off. And we love Dave Maloney. Third week in a row. I'm sorry. This is why you get home ice. This is why you win the President's Trophy.
Give it home to the ice. Fans again.
They're undefeated. They don't lose in the Garden. I mean, this is just remarkable.
I love the fans too, but come on.
All right. So if I'm going to give it to someone, I'm giving it to Peter Laviolette, because the coaching adjustments he continues to make have been remarkable. And you're seeing the difference between Gallant and Laviolette. And
he deserves more credit.
Yeah. Let's give him the third star every week. He's a great head coach. So we'll give it to Lavi this week. Thanks for listening, everyone. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the New York Post Sports YouTube page. If you're watching now, make sure you give that thumbs up, two thumbs up. RIP Ebron and Roper. Give it the two thumbs up and comment below. How does the rest of the series play out? I originally said Rangers in seven, but you know, I'm starting to think it might end a little bit sooner, but the tides will change when it goes to Carolina. Follow Molly on Twitter. That's Molly Walker, two E's, two R's, and Brian Boyle at Brian Browse 22. Thanks to Thomas Hogan for helping me in producing the show. For Larry Brooks, Brian Boyle, Molly Walker, I'm Jake Brown. The guys and the lady will be back next week on Monday if the Rangers sweep, and Tuesday if not, if it goes to a game five, we'll be back on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Up in the Blue Seats. Enjoy game three and four down in Raleigh.